worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Psalm 112, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord! How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. The wicked will see this and be infuriated. They will grind their teeth in anger. They will slink away, their hopes thwarted. All of Psalm 112. Then looking in the New Testament, the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, picking up at verse 14. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know how you know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Verses 14 through 17, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Thank you, Father, once again for the wonderful and the powerful and the blessed gift of your word. What a blessing and a privilege it is for us to open your word and spend time with you one-on-one every day as you speak words of life, blessing, grace, salvation, and encouragement into our hearts and our minds and into our lives. Father, more and more with every passing day, help us to fall more in love with you and with your word and empower us to become much more faithful hearers and doers of your word in all of our lives and our lifestyles. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac is going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I ask that we'd be attentive, that we'd be hungry, that we desire your word more and more. Father, we need a spiritual sustenance. We need a spiritual meal. And that is your truth, your love, your grace, your mercy. That is your presence, Father. Thank you so much for all that you've already given us. And Father, we just ask for more. We want more of you, and we want to be more in unity with the church, Father. For those that aren't saved, I ask that you'd speak to them, that you'd speak to their hearts, and that they'd see your face and pursue you in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac, and thank you for being a part of our listening family. We are very grateful, blessed, and honored to have with us a third grade class from Downers Grove. It's actually the third grade class of the teacher, Miss Sonia Ponce, a very gifted and outstanding teacher who works at Downers Grove Christian School as a teacher. And so we're grateful to have her and her class. And they'll be reading the Word of God with us today. So, Sonia, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right. Thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to ask, Sonia, would you take a moment just to tell our listeners, there may be someone who's listening who's never heard of Downers Grove Christian School, which is in Downers Grove, Illinois. And would you tell them, if someone wants more information, how they can learn more about or get in touch with Downers Grove School?
Sure. So one way is through the website, and that is dgchristian.org. They could also email the office, which is office@dgchristian.org, or they can call the office, and the number is 630-852-0832.
All right. And want to say one more time, thank you so much for allowing your students to read the Word of God for us today, all right?
Oh, you're most welcome. They're very excited about it.
All right. Well, let me just say this in the way of introducing are the students. They're third grade students from Downers Grove Christian School in Downers Grove, Illinois. And they're going to be reading for us the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1. They'll also be reading from a portion of Psalm 119. And then they'll be reading Hebrews chapter 11. And each student will be reading about five verses or so. And so at this time, they're going to begin with Genesis chapter 1.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day.
And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from water, the water above it, and it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear," and it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good.
Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it, according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so.
God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the livestock according to their kinds, and all God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that moved along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good.
Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our own image, in our likeness, so that we may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves along the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. It will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw that all he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees.
That I will not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young person stand the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands.
I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways.
I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. I will be good to your servant. While I live, that I may obey your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wonderful things in your law. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times.
You rebuke the arrogant who are accursed. Those who stray from your commands, remove from me their scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. The rulers sit together and slander me. Your servant will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word.
I gave account of my ways and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Cause me to understand the way of your precepts, that I may meditate on the wonderful deeds. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Keep me from sinful ways. Be gracious to me and teach me your law. I hold fast to your statutes, Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. I run in the path of your commands, for you have broadened my understanding. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding, so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight.
Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away this disgrace. I judge you for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life.
Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commanded for. By faith we understand that the universe was...
You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've had third graders from Downers Grove Christian School reading the Word of God. We'll be right back.
Through the night.
Music from Planet Shakers with Only Way, a reminder that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life and eternal salvation. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're honored and privileged to have as our phone guests today the third grade class of Sonia Ponce, who is a teacher at Downers Grove Christian School in Downers Grove, Illinois. And they've been reading the Word of God, and they've read thus far. They've read through Genesis chapter 1 for us and a portion of Psalm 119. And we're ready to pick up now Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1.
Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commanded for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commanded as a righteous man. When God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from his life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commanded as one who pleased God.
And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God.
And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful, he who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he was as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith. When they died, they did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He had embraced the promises, was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned," Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, so in a matter of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future.
By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin.
He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to its reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw who him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days.
By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, ministered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of the lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection.
Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect.
All right. Outstanding reading again. You've been listening to the Bible reading of third grade students from Downers Grove Christian School in Downers Grove, Illinois. Again, did a great, great job. And they are the third grade class of the instructor, the teacher, Sonia Ponce. Thank you all again for doing the great job you did today. All right, again, we were grateful to have as our phone guests third grade students again, students from Downers Grove Christian School in Downers Grove, Illinois. What a blessing and a privilege. And, you know, if you listen on a pretty regular basis, you know that we often like to have young people to come on to read the Word of God. Let me say this to every believer listening, and I cannot overemphasize it is how important it is. Time reading and meditating on God's Word is so valuable. It blesses you in ways that you and I don't fully comprehend. But remember this, when you're reading the Word of God, you're spending time with Jesus. You're spending time in the presence of Jesus. Jesus is touching you, blessing you, ministering to you, giving you wisdom, insight, and the knowledge of God. Father, thank you for the wonderful gift of your Word, and thank you for the privilege of having precious young people like we just heard reading your Word in a public capacity. More and more, help us to grow in our understanding of the value, the blessing, the grace that is ours as we're wise enough to make a high priority of opening your Word and spending time reading and meditating on it every single day. Thank you for this opportunity. We thank and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And let me say to every parent listening again, having your child to read the Word out loud to you every day, I can't overemphasize how important that very important spiritual habit is in your home for you and your family as well. Remember, when your child is reading the Word of God out loud to you, they're spending time with Jesus. Jesus is touching their life. He's ministering to them. He's pouring grace, peace, and light into your child's heart and mind. Nothing will bless your child more than the powerful Word of God. How important that is. I want to take time to read Proverbs chapter 31, but let me just share this before I read it. Proverbs 31 is a chapter that's unique in a number of ways. It's largely what a young man, a young king, remembered that his mother taught him. And you know, sometimes if you're reading this passage, you just might miss that. But remember this, this young man remembered a lot of things his mother taught him. And it's so important to understand parents, dads, and moms, our children are listening. They're listening and learning from you every single day. You know, often the devil will try to tell you, your children aren't listening to you. And parents sometimes will say, my children don't listen to me. Parents, they are listening. They're listening sometimes when you want them to, and they're listening sometimes when you don't want them to. They're picking up on things you didn't mean for them to hear because they are listening. So may we as parents and grandparents make the most of our time of teaching, training, guiding, and molding our children. Yes, they are listening. Dad and mom, they're listening. Listen to the words, the powerful words of Proverbs chapter 31. The son who remembered what his mother taught him. Again, Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 1. The sayings of King Lemuel contain this message, which his mother taught him. O my son, O son of my womb, O son of my vows, do not waste your strength on women, on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, to guzzle wine. Rulers should not crave alcohol. For if they drink, they may forget the law and not give justice to the oppressed. Alcohol is for the dying, and wine for those in bitter distress. Let them drink to forget their poverty and remember their troubles, and remember their troubles no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She is like a merchant's ship, bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. She goes to inspect a field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. She makes her own bedspreads. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. Her husband is well known at the city gates, where he sits with the other civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Verses 1 through 31, all of Proverbs 31. Lord, thank you for the wisdom of the mother that's depicted here in this passage. And Lord, thank you for every parent listening right now. Anoint every dad, every mom. Anoint every granddad, every grandmom with the wisdom to know that there's so much we can do to bless and encourage and minister to our children as we have them to read the Word of God out loud daily, but also as we teach and train them with the wisdom that draws straight from your Word. Help us to know, Lord, in this world full of weapons of mass distraction, help us to be wise enough to turn off all the electronic gadgets and all the things, the cell phones and everything else, and help us to be wise enough to open your Word with our children and allow them to read the Word and talk about the wisdom, the counsel, the grace that's found there, that they can learn to walk in the light of the wisdom and the power of your Word. Lord, help us to know, Lord, there's nothing our children need more than your precious, powerful Word. Help us to believe that and to live that way. Help us, teach us, Lord, to fill our lives with you and with your Word. And help us to know your Word is the key to everything in life. And more, help us to fill our lives with it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back. Music of Elevation Worship with Oh Sing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We've been sharing as of late about our upcoming Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge, and I want to share with you once again, and we're encouraging every parent listening with young children. This is for young people from ages 7 to 17, if they'd like to participate. But during the month of June this year, basically, the project extends from June 1st through June the 30th. The American Family Association is providing, once again, the Ten Commandments Project. And a little adjustment, it is the Ten Commandments Speech Challenge this year. Again, the ages are ages 7 to 17. And basically, what we're doing is we're encouraging young people to do just this, specifically to write a speech addressing the topic, why are the Ten Commandments important? In other words, specifically, why are the Ten Commandments important? That's the topic that they're to write a speech on. Now, in years gone by, we basically had them to do a speech on one of the Ten Commandments. But this year, it's specifically on the topic, why are the Ten Commandments important? And so we encourage them to do their Bible research as well as topical research on this and submit the speech again. You will have the opportunity to begin to submit them on June 1st, and the deadline is June the 30th. And in years gone by, we've had a number of speeches submitted. The very first year, I think we ended up with about 27 speeches. The second year, I believe we had 37. And this past year, I think we ended up with about 32. But each year, every speech has been powerful and encouraging. And remember, parents, this is a discipleship project. As your son or daughter do their Bible research and topical research, and then put the speech together, then videotape it and send it to us, again, in the midst of that, they will grow significantly. The Spirit of God will work on them and through them and use them in some wonderful, wonderful ways. And so one of the goals behind this, of course, is obviously helping to plant the Word of God in the minds and the hearts of our children. But keep in mind, the Ten Commandments are the moral law of God. For those that sadly may come sometimes to the conclusion that, well, that's Old Testament. Well, keep in mind, the moral law of God does not change. And the fact is, some of the biggest challenges we're dealing with in our culture, in our world today, are a direct result of people violating the clear counsel of the Ten Commandments. We think of the tragedy of abortion. The Bible clearly tells us, you shall not murder. Did you know murder is never in order under any circumstances, not through abortion or through any other means? Yet, sadly, we live in a world that tries to say, well, under certain circumstances, murder is okay. And many try to say that one of those circumstances is because of abortion. Remember, God's word does not change. And it's important that we as the people of God are clear, boldly clear on that reality. Also, lots of sexual sin and sexual deviation from the word and the will of God. One of the Ten Commandments tells us, you shall not commit adultery. We're not to be involved in sexual sin in any capacity. And we need to be willing to, in love, help our young people and adults know that sex is to be between a married man and a woman and nowhere else. God's word is so clear. So as we take the wonderful Ten Commandments, the moral law of God, and teach and encourage our young people to take and put them to use, again, they can be blessed, but also as they prepare their speech, the speech can be heard and can bless many, many others. One of our goals is for those young people that wish to, once they do their speech, we'd like to get them on the radio to both share their speech and talk about what they learned and how they grew, and have dad and mom, dad and or mom, to be on with them to talk about that as well. So if you'd like more information, again, keep this in mind, too. You can go to, now, this website, if it's not up and running, it should be ready as of June 1st. But afa.net/10commandments. Again, that's afa.net/10commandments. That's also the location whereby you will be able to upload your speech, the video of your speech that you send to us as well. So we'll look forward to receiving that. So if you have further questions, also keep in mind, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. You're welcome to give us a call, to email us or give us a call. My office phone, 662-844-5036, extension 381. We'd be glad to try to answer any and all questions that you may have. And also keep in mind, if you also receive the printed version of the AFA Stand, our printed magazine, an article entitled The Law, the Gospel, the Challenge is in there, which is also highlighting and is about the Ten Commandments Challenge. So again, that's the June edition of the AFA Stand printed magazine. I want to take time now to read an additional article. It's about discipleship as well, discipleship of young people, but discipleship in general. It's entitled Walking Out Your Calling. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us. Again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, the title of the article, Walking Out Your Calling. Romans chapter 11, verse 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And then, again, that's Romans 11, 29. And then Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Again, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. This year, during the month of May, we have the opportunity to attend one or more graduations where everything from high school diplomas to postgraduate degrees are conferred. Commencement addresses can be very interesting, sometimes amusing, but too often very disappointing. Commencement speakers are usually gifted orators who use the occasion to display their knowledge, praise the graduates for their accomplishments, hold up high expectations for them, and assure them of a bright future. But too often the speaker fails to include God or the will of God in the equation of the graduates' lives and futures. How tragic. If God is mentioned at all, it is often only an obligatory afterthought. Graduates are often challenged to pursue their dreams, fulfill their desires, and make their own way. They're usually told to clearly identify their calling and to go after it with all their might. Again, how tragic. The reality is that God chooses your calling, not you. See Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. We're not to declare what we want to do in life and then ask God to bless it. We're to pray and seek God for his call on our lives. Like the Apostle Paul, we're wise to pray the prayer he prayed. Lord, what do you want me to do? See Acts chapter 9, verse 6. It's been said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Before you get upset that God decides your calling rather than you, consider this reality. God made you. He designed you. He molded and shaped you to excel and shine for his glory as you live out the calling that he has given you. God knows you better than you know yourself. You were made specifically to carry out the call he has given you as an individual. And no one in the universe is designed to carry out the specific call on your life but you. So be mindful of this truth. You were created to succeed at what God has called you to do. Your God-designed calling empowers you to live out your purpose in this world. The most exciting, fulfilling, and satisfying life you can possibly live is the life you live as you walk out God's call on your life. The wisest and best life you can possibly live is the life of embracing and running after the call of God. But his calling on your life must be accepted and then lived out faithfully. God is not going to change his mind. See Romans chapter 11, verse 29. You can accept his calling and live it out by the power of the Holy Spirit, becoming a great become a great blessing to the world. Or you can run from your calling. However, doing so will only lead to a very frustrated, unfulfilled life, much like getting swallowed by a big fish. See Jonah chapter 1, chapters 1 through 4. It will result in a waste of a lot of money, energy, and time if you run from your calling. And be aware of this. Wasted time is wasted life. Then maybe after years of frustration, if you live long enough, maybe you can say, okay, God, I will now do what you told me to do years ago. My encouragement and recommendation to you is to say yes to the Lord and his will right away. Right now, in fact, stepping into a more blessed and fulfilling life today. God and his will for your life is the best thing that can happen to you and all the rest of us as well. Again, for more resources and information about Christ, the architect of our lives, and how to come to know him, and to know more about life's instruction manual known as the Bible, faith, and how to grow up spiritually, please email me at jparker@afa.net. We have resources to encourage you in your life of discipleship, in your life of fulfilling the call of God on your life. We hope to hear from you. Lord, thank you for the wonderful gift of the specific calling and call that you've placed upon each of our lives. Thank you for the exciting life you've given to each one of us as we simply walk with you, listen to you, discern your call on our lives, and fulfill it. Help us to recognize, Lord, that as we walk with you and follow you, you help us to find our God-ordained purpose, our calling, the reason we're in the world. Help us to fully fulfill that for your glory. Help us to know, Lord, that the purpose of life is to know you and to serve you, and that we're here for you. We're not here for ourselves. We're not here per se for any other cause except for you, your purposes, and your call. Thank you for the privilege, the honor, the blessing of being a vessel you can use to carry out the call of God upon our lives. What a blessing it is to do that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, today, this day is a wonderful day to get saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to seek you in prayer every day. Help me to obey you and follow you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, please, please get in touch with us. Once again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Email us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong and put down deep roots in your new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get in touch with us again. We look forward to hearing from you again. joseph@afr.net. If you'd like to copy a copy of the article that we shared, Walking Out Your Calling, again, simply same email, any articles that we do share, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'd be glad to get them to you. Just mention the title and we'll be glad to share them with you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.